This week's show is sponsored by touringplans.com. I don't know about you guys, but I never, ever, ever go to Walt Disney World Park without having my Lines app. And we have a great partnership with touringplans.com. You can get 20% off an annual subscription by using our exclusive discount code NERDS2016. That's NERDS2016.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is show number 124. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. With me tonight, we have Jimmy from Once Upon a Time Travel. Jimmy, how you doing?
I am fantastic. So happy to be back since I missed last week. And last week's show was, I felt like it was all about me since I'm going to about to be down there the week of spring break when it's
going
to be all
the
tens.
Guy going when it's all tens. And right. In fact, that will segue to a topic that we're going to talk about here in just a second. Awesome. But before that, we have somebody that's fresh back and back to the show. Jennifer from Delightful Life. How you doing?
Good. I'm so glad you guys let me back on. No, it's good to be back.
Absolutely. Great. Glad to have you back. And back again this week, Charlotte's joining us. Charlotte, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me again this week.
No problem. Ed couldn't make it with us this week, but we have a full list of topics we wanted to get to, so we thought we would jump right into that. Lots of news coming out of the parks here the last 7 or 8 days. We're going to talk about tickets, ships, shops, Animal Kingdom, lots of things. And you know, when I say that quickly, ships and shops, it reminds me of a Yeehaw Bob song.
I was about to say, it reminds me of Sally, and she sits and shifts and...
Sips and yeah.
And everyone who has not seen Yeehaw Bob is wondering what the heck we're talking about. Then go do it next trip. Yes.
Absolutely. Next trip, head over to Riverside. That's for darn sure. So let's start with tickets.
Well, let me also say this, Sam.
Sure.
Go ahead. I also just real quick, I just want to say how excited I am that Charlotte is on. I always feel outnumbered because all you Yankees.
That's right.
Jennifer, Sam, and Ed, and now I have a fellow Southerner on, so I'm very excited about that.
You're technically still outnumbered, 3-2, but I am
no.
Absolutely
hold on.
A Southerner at heart, so I'll be a half. I'll go half either direction.
Ed,
there you go.
Ed called in sick, so he's out.
Jennifer will tow the Mason-Dixon line for us.
That's exactly right. Both geographically and in my heart.
Perfect.
We're all Disney fans, and that's why we're here, right?
That's
there
right.
There are no Disney parks in the north, by the way.
This is true.
There are not. That is true.
It's because it's cold and snowy and gray.
Well, and that sums up today. All right. So Jennifer's fresh back from Walt Disney World. Jimmy's getting ready to go. And last week we talked about going with heavy crowds when it's a 10 on the board. And Disney made an announcement here last week. Some ticket prices are changing. And what they're changing is introducing the tiered ticketing, which means they are turning single tickets. And I think that's something that we got to keep in mind. This is for single day admission only. So if you're walking up and buying a single day ticket, you're now going to pay based on the time of year, whether it's value season, regular season, or peak season. And those ticket prices are going to vary accordingly.
I think it makes complete sense. First of all, I think the percentage of people that buy a one-day ticket is so small that it does not affect a whole lot of people. Second of all, I think we've already seen that Disney is pretty darn smart when it comes to how they run promotions and the things they do to level these crowds out throughout the year. Things like free dining and stuff like that that we've seen in the past to get more people to go during the fall versus the peak times. I know there's a lot of complaints about the ticket prices increase, but you know, if you read the press statement, the spokesperson, and I can't remember her name, from Disney said, look, we still keep seeing increases in attendance, which especially during peak times. So I'm all for it. I'm willing to pay a little bit more, up to the point where it thins the crowds just a little bit.
Yeah.
It was Susie Brown who was, in addition to expanding our parks, we are adapting seasonal pricing for our one-day tickets to help better spread visitation throughout the year. That's exactly what she said.
And they've already done that. They've been doing that with the hotel rates.
It's not an uncommon thing in travel. Hotels are always busier when they are going to be more full. Cruise ships, the price goes up as they fill up. It's not abnormal, I don't think, to charge more when you can. I mean, it's a business model. And then if it helps thin the crowds as well, then that's great. They've done it with dining and everything, too. There's always been holiday pricing. And then recently they've added peak pricing for certain dining. So it's not as surprising as some of the internet would lead you to believe.
Here in Georgia, one-day ticket prices actually, I think, make up a lot of what people are doing down there. I have so many friends who are just going to pick up and go down to Disney for the day or two for spring break. They have no plans, have no hotels. It's one of those, we'll see what we can find, and I'll take the kids to Magic Kingdom for the day. And though that, you know, I only live 7 hours away. It's not that hard to drive down overnight, be there for when the kids wake up in the car in the morning. And a lot of my friends and people here in Metro Atlanta do get these 1 day tickets. And so I'm hearing, my inbox has been crazy full. I have been tagged in so many posts. How can I still go to Disney? How am I still supporting this when, you know, it's taking down from the middle class incomes? And I've heard all kinds of things, and honestly, like Jennifer, y'all have said, they're doing it already through the hotels, through the dining. It's not a surprise. And Universal actually did this a couple of weeks ago to their tickets, but you know, Disney's the one that's getting vilified for it.
Absolutely.
Well, that's Universal sort of did it backwards, and let's touch on that in a second, because a couple things you guys mentioned. Everyone's always done this before. Try to rent a car in Orlando spring break week. It's more expensive than if you're there a different time. Right. It's rental cars. It's hotel rooms. It's everything. So Disney's always had value resort times and moderate and peak. So they've added that to the theme parks to try to pull it in. The interesting thing, it's only 1 day passes. And Charlotte, I'm with you. If you live within driving distance and just decided to go to Disney World for the weekend, it may cost you a little more. And for Magic Kingdom, so that we're all clear, a value is $95. The regular is $105, and peak is $119.
So interesting, it went down.
I was about to say the value actually went down. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Along those lines, the time of year, basically, peak is basically anytime the kids aren't in school is considered peak season, which I thought was interesting. This also impacted Disneyland, which I don't know was made that clear, but it wasn't just Walt Disney World. And, of course, Magic Kingdom's about $5 more than the other parks in Florida. Now, to your point on Universal, because I did think this was interesting, Universal didn't raise their price per se, but what they did is said, we're introducing a value season.
It appears more benevolent when you do that, when you lower ticket prices for certain weeks.
I would also add, and we've had this conversation before about Disneyland, them changing the one-day park ticket for Disneyland, what does that do? The vast, vast majority of visitors to Disneyland are annual pass holders. You know, it's a local.
But maybe not anymore.
People don't go on vacation there, but.
Maybe not, yeah.
Right.
But I mean, how many people would do a one-day ticket, though?
I don't know. Their annual passes. I mean, when our annual passes raised a little by comparison, they're skyrocketed. So, I mean, it really might affect them more than we think. But because there again, with Charlotte's point, they absolutely can very easily do a 1 day pass if they don't want to do, you know, a pass that's been doubled in price or something. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. Kind of to Charlotte's point, and I want to tread lightly here because I don't necessarily want to defend or take a stance on either side. But somebody I heard mention recently, I think it was on maybe the Diz Unplugged or something, but somebody kind of put it in perspective, like, I want to go to Bora Bora tomorrow too, but I don't. It's not cheap enough for me to go. I can't afford to go, so I don't go. And so I'm not saying Disney should price everyone out, but like, it is a luxury to travel, unfortunately. That means that we all travel differently depending on, you know, how you, where you're coming from, how much travel costs for you, what your priorities are, whether you want to save for a trip to Bora Bora or you want to go to Disney World 5 times in a year. So, I mean, the idea of getting fired up and angry at Disney, I never understand that. Like, it's, they don't necessarily, I wish it was cheaper, but they don't owe ridiculously cheap. They don't owe it to me that I should be able to go every weekend as much as I would love to. Disney, if you're listening, I would love to go every weekend. But
exactly.
I don't understand the vilifying, like you said.
Well, and you know, to your point, would you really want to go every weekend if it was priced at a price point where anybody could go every weekend?
Right. No, because they wouldn't be able to make the same experience either.
Right. Exactly.
They would be closing the park for capacity, which is what we talked about last week, right?
So
they'd be closing for capacity every week.
Charlotte, what is a 1 day ticket to Six Flags Over Georgia cost?
Well, you know, they have this silly little deals if you bring a Coke can. But honestly, I think a 1 day ticket straight up, you know, gate price is going to be around $60 to $65. And for me, a 1 day ticket, even if I'm looking at a Magic Kingdom peak day, 1 day ticket at after tax was $124. I pulled up. And so $124, I have paid $125 to go to a concert that did not last for 3 hours.
Yes.
Sure.
And I enjoyed it. I did not leave grumbling that I didn't get my money's worth. If I'm spending $125 for a day at Magic Kingdom, I'm probably going to be there from opening to close.
Which you're talking about peak season, openings at 8 a.m., closings at midnight usually.
Right.
If not later, but at midnight.
Exactly. There's going to be at least 12 hours of park time in there. At least, you would think.
I'm sure that the accountants at Disney figured all that out. And when you do that math, it makes it worth it.
It's a very good
value. It does make it worth it. It does make it worth it to me. If I take it and compare it to other things that, you know, it costs $60 to take my family to the movies.
Right.
Yep. Just to the movies. Now, of course, that would be more to take them all to Walt Disney World. But most of the time, if we're going and I need a 1 day ticket, I need one day ticket for someone in my family to join. We don't do these 1 days very often. We go and we get our money's worth with the multi-day tickets, but it's still a value to me. I still see a lot of value in that $125 when I look at it and compare it to other things of entertainment value that I would spend that kind of money on.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy was saying too, Cedar Point is, you know, whatever, the roller coaster capital of the world or something. And it's almost $70 for a gate ticket. Kings Island is $60. And it's, I mean, those are not Disney World. So,
they're not Disney World.
Oh, not at all.
So, by the way, just looking at the Disney's website, a 1 day pass, $124 during peak season?
Right.
A 10 day pass cost you about $40 a day.
Well, and that's, you know, everybody always talks about that, who buys the 1 day passes. Obviously, there are people that do. But I believe, if you think about this, this is just the first step. I mean, they started this. We never talked about it on the show when they did some tiering to annual passes. Now they're tiering a 1 day ticket. I can almost assure
it's
coming.
They did increase the price of the multi-day tickets too, just not to the – they didn't seasonalize them.
Right.
Right.
But the prices did go up a little bit. But even a 6 day ticket still is about $60 a day. The same as it would cost you to go to Six Flags.
Six Flags.
Right.
It's
a premium product. I think you should have a premium price. You know,
And this is supply and demand too. I mean, they know what they're doing. They know when the crowds are at a 10 and when they're in jeopardy of needing to close a gate. And if they can get another $5 out of every person in there, wouldn't you do it?
Can you send me $5?
to get next time I see you. Well, you can't even buy a beer with the $5.
I see you like twice a year now.
So when we were talking about as we were talking about the prices there, Charlotte mentioned bringing a Coke can to the to a place to get a discount. That takes us right to shops, and it takes us right to Disney Springs, believe it or not, because we now have details on the town center retail location of Disney Springs, which includes 28 new stores in a brand new area of downtown Disney, Disney Springs now. And if you kind of step back a little bit, most of this area was parking lot before. Remember, they built the two parking garages, which are now opened. This is more parking lot, and actually this will be the main bus stop, which will finally allow them to close the legacy downtown Disney bus stop. But within that town center, we're getting a World of Coca-Cola.
Yay.
How about that?
Yay.
I don't think I read that. That's pretty cool. Is that going to be kind of you think that's going to be kind of like Club Cool?
I think it'd be somewhere between Club Cool and the World of Coke in Atlanta, which is huge.
Yes.
So I imagine it's going to be somewhere in between, like a mini version of the World of Coke. Like,
I'll give you, we're not going to read descriptions on all of them, but I'll give you this one. This is the Coca-Cola store. Building on its long-standing relationship with Disney, the new store, inspired by a 1920-era's Coca-Cola bottling plant, will feature a wide selection of Coca-Cola merchandise, polar bear experience, and refreshing rooftop beverage bar.
Cool.
Very cool.
So that's one of the many stores being added. There's a couple other that stood out to me. There's a Vera Bradley store, which I'm sure my daughter's going to want to be in all the time.
Oh, yes.
And there's lots of others here, too. And I'm not sure if you guys have the list in front of you, but any jump out at you?
Well, you know, we were talking a little bit off air. I'm glad that we're talking about this here. It's just always been intriguing to me. As these have kind of trickled out, you know, we heard about Blaze Pizza and about the Art of Shaving and all these that started coming that are already actually, I think the Art of Shaving might even be open. But and then now we're hearing about Everything But Water, and we're hearing all these different things. And I'll listen to podcasts and they'll not have any idea what these are. One of them was like, what is Everything But Water? Can I get like beer and soda but not water? And I'm sitting here thinking, we know I've had all of these stores in my life for 15 years. Like, so it's very, very interesting to me to find that this whole like section of Central Florida has never like thinks these are completely unique, like boutique shops coming only to Walt Disney World. They're very cool. And it's going to be, I think that adding that whole section is going to be very neat, but I don't know that it's as unique and boutique-y and wonderful as some people think it might be. I think it's like a mall, a really great mall.
I am so with you, because it was the same feeling when Lucky Strikes opened down there.
Yeah.
It was the same – or Splitsville. When Splitsville opened, everyone down there went nuts. Oh, my gosh, Splitsville. And I'm thinking, we have one of those right around the corner here. Well, that's nothing
you
new.
You know, but not everybody does. So a lot of these shops – a lot of those shops we don't have. I will also say completely different than a mall, lots of live entertainment.
Yes.
Yes.
Outdoor things that you can do and just kind of stroll around and grab a beer and or a margarita and just kind of walk around and enjoy the atmosphere.
But when you look at these 28 stores that are part of this new the new expansion, things like Lucky Brand or Under Armour or Lacrosse or Columbia or Free People, and you go down the list of stores here and you look at the concept art, and it looks to me like a shopping outlet Disneyfied, if you know what I mean.
Which is cool.
At least this section. It's cool if that's what you're after.
Well, and you know, we talked about before, I think, and if not here, like in the Disney community in general, that, you know, this was supposed to be a place that locals shopped. Like when it first opened, it was supposed to be like a Disney area for locals. And then it kind of morphed from that. And now it's going back to this like story that it's a town that's settled where people shop and hang out and have this waterfront business. So it's not surprising. And in I was thinking as you were talking about downtown Disney in Anaheim and how awesome that is. I actually love, they have some really, really unique, very Disney stores like the Vault and just a couple of really cool stores that I wish we had at our Disney Springs. But honestly, if we can get the feel, the live entertainment, the bustling, super fun, family-friendly but very exciting feel, like nightlife-y feel that they have there, I don't even care what stores are there. Like, it would be nice.
Sure.
Like, when I was there for a race, I needed headphones. I went into Sound Lion or whatever and got a pair of headphones. So it was nice. It wasn't a vacation experience. It was a convenience. But mm-hmm. if it could feel like Downtown Disney in Anaheim feels, then I'll be there all the time. It'll be so wonderful.
I always get that feel. And I've never been to Downtown Disney in Anaheim, but that bustling kind of cool place just to hang out, I always get that feeling when I'm there, you know, especially down the way the food trucks and all that stuff is.
Absolutely. The old,
I think that place is fantastic. To go over there and just hang out and just kind of walk through some of those shops, the superhero shop and the Star Wars. I don't think it's actually a Star Wars shop.
It is now. Yeah, there is one.
It is now.
Yeah.
It is now. It's a Star Wars Galactic something. I forget the name.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's so cool. It's also cool to get the Sosa Family Cigar Place right there with the big humidor. You can walk in there and you can go to Bongo's and sit on the patio and smoke a cigar and chill. And, you know,
I think you're good. I think you've got something that I didn't think about. That part of it has that feel. What used to be the West Side has that feel. I think what they're going to accomplish by this, you know, everything sort of is all kind of morphing. They all have it their own, you know, the landing and they all have different kind of feels, but it's all one big, happy, family friendly place as far as I can tell from all the concepts. So what that does is it spreads it out from one end of the marketplace to the other end of West Side or whatever they're going to call them. That's a huge space. And so if you are walking through Downtown Disney in Anaheim, you will have like a guy playing a dulcimer, and then you'll have just far enough to where you can't hear it. You'll have somebody playing like an electric guitar. And then
hold on.
No, seriously.
You have to define dulcimer.
Okay, it's an instrument that's like sits on a table and it has strings and it sounds kind of like a harp. So it's like completely different than an electric guitar.
Okay, I just wanted to look. You can't just throw.
But you play
a dulcimer
with a hammer. You play with a hammer. All right, sorry.
You play it with a hammer.
You play it with a little hammer, like a mallet, like a piano. Okay, it's like basically the inside of a piano, but on a table. Sorry, I like grew up with. All right. Anyway, so dulcimer, look it up. It's very beautiful music. I love it. There's your lesson for the day. But if you walk through from one end, from the Disneyland Hotel to the promenade between the two parks, you will probably pass 10 people playing very different things, and it's a smaller space. So I think what you get is the ability to take that same feel from the West Side and stretch it all the way down to Rainforest Cafe with totally different experiences. I think that'll be really cool.
Absolutely.
I'm with you. It'll be interesting to see how this new location ties into that, because it's sort of separate, and some of the concept art, which I'm going to put in the show notes, if you head over to the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com, you're going to see it there. It looks like an outdoor shopping with a roof over top of it, so it'll That's be cool. interesting to see how that works out. And by the way, if you head to DisneySprings.com, the thing right on the front is the new Galactic Outpost.
It's so cool. It's actually so. Have you guys been into the Marvel, the superhero headquarters? Have you been into that store?
I have been.
Superhero. Okay. It's not Marvel. It doesn't say it. It's just superhero
headquarters. Yeah. So Galactic Outpost, we just went there. I filmed a video, which I can eventually try to get to when I have time. But it is basically the same. It's the same feel, which I loved. So it has your $10, same as every Disney store in the entire country, like figurine box. It's got that. But it's also got next to it limit 10 hand-painted $5,000 artwork. And then it's got costumes and it's got T-shirts and it's got, you know, Invitational. So it has the same feel as Superhero Headquarters, where it's got your unique stuff and your super common stuff. Some stuff unique just to the store, some very expensive, some inexpensive, and then great theming, except the candy cauldron, like witch that used to hang over the top is still there. So that was weird.
Oh, really?
That was super weird, but I imagine she'll go because she's very out of place. Otherwise, it's the same kind of store, and it makes me so excited because that is, I mean, I love World of Disney, but I love even more seeing those like really unique stores like that.
Right.
I saw somebody today post some pictures from World of Disney that I'd never seen before. And it's actually like all these murals that are painted on the ceiling. And most people just walk by them. They don't even realize them. And that was kind of his quote was like, you know, the kids in the strollers get to see all this cool
right,
stuff.
That's adults, so cool.
The kids, the adults walk right by it. They don't even see it. But there's all these great murals that like are on the ceiling.
That's exactly. So, you know, in Sir Mickey's where Willie the Giant's like peeking in and holding the roof up. And I went to Disney for like 10 years before somebody said that and I noticed it. And I'm pretty sure Nolan's first trip, he's like, Willie, wow. All right. So apparently these kids really do. They have all the time in the world to just sit in their stroller and look up and down and all around. And
that's right.
So we just need strollers and someone to push
us. I want strollers. Yes. Adult strollers, please. Don't forget our cup holders.
That's right. I try and get Kim to push me around like in a wheelchair every time we go. She keeps refusing.
No luck so far.
No.
I think we have lots of shows regarding Disney Springs coming up after we're all back from trips.
I'm excited
there's so much
it.
Here. There's a lot here. I really can't wait for that bus stop open.
Yeah.
That new bus stop is going to feature the bigger buses and be a huge turnaround. And it's really going to – the transformation from the old Downtown Disney with the three bus stops and different locations to one central stop.
Yes.
It's going to be great.
Well, especially
and it's sort of convenient that you have to walk through the shopping area to get to the rest off the bus. How about that?
But you say they went from three to one central. They went from three to one central by way of one way far away from everything else. So we got off on the bus, walked to the end, and then we were like, oh my gosh, everyone's tired. We're so far away. We're just going to take an Uber. Well, of course, then at that point of the day, it was like 4.2 times whatever premium. So we walked our way all the way back with three tired kids. And so I'm like, the buses are so far away. So I'm just happy that it's centrally located.
Yes, which will be nice.
Well, on a trip we did, me and Kim did, it was just the two of us. So it was in October. For a couple nights before we checked into whatever Disney hotel we were staying in, we stayed at the Wyndham in Downtown Disney. The room was okay, but the location was fantastic. Because it is the closest hotel to Downtown Disney.
Right.
You could leave your room at the Wyndham and just walk right across the street to the main entrance right there by the Christmas store.
And you don't even walk across the street now. You walk on the overhead pedestrian walkway.
Yep.
So you don't have to wait for traffic. You don't have to wait for red lights. That's all part of how they've modernized that place. So it's pretty cool.
We talked before about how then Saratoga Springs is going to get a little boost in
I think so.
I
do.
Definitely.
I think so too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. With that little bridge that goes across straight into.
Yep. All right. We'll talk shops again on a future show, I am sure. Let's move on to ships, where we learned this week that Disney Cruise Lines has announced that they are adding two additional ships to the existing fleet of four.
I literally squealed when I read that.
I did too. It was awesome.
These appear to be bigger than the ships out there. We have a little bit of time. One's going to come online in 2021 and the other in 2023. But Disney Cruise Line continues to grow, continues to get bigger. Pretty cool.
And I did read that they'll be slightly bigger, which was surprising to me because for so long, you know, they kind of go back and forth between like, ooh, Royal Caribbean has the bigger ship. Ooh, now Disney's building a bigger ship. So I actually thought that the next time they'd have a ship that it would just be like massive, but I think it's going to be perfect. I'm excited. I mean, we obviously don't have any details yet at all, but I like that it's not, you know, 150% bigger. Like, because the Dream and the Fantasy are pretty big ships. If it got much bigger, I think it could border on too big.
Oh, well, and if you remember, they had to redo Castaway Key when those bigger ships came on board.
Right, yeah.
Right.
That may have something to do with how big they can actually get. Of course, I'm speculating, and they could change it again if they needed to. But it's cool to know that there's more coming. To me, what's exciting isn't necessarily the new ships, but the new itineraries that could come because of them.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking, that it can, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, we could travel out of New York or out of Baltimore much easier than we could travel out of Port Canaveral. Sometimes there's great flights down there sometimes, but it's like 3 weeks out of the year it's in wherever these different places are. Or I know people in the South like the Galveston port. So it'd be nice to be able to not, you know, they've done a really great job, especially the Wonder this past year. I have a friend who was on there, and so I got to really kind of watch how varied the itineraries were, from Alaska to Hawaii to the canal. I mean, they've just been everywhere. They started in Puerto Rico. And, but that's one ship, and so when you take one ship and send it to the Mediterranean or send it to the West Coast, then that leaves you with one ship on the East Coast. So it's absolutely time.
Well, so I think the other big thing is it will help keep prices, reasonable. We talked a lot about supply and demand and talking about the parks and ticket increases. Well, demand for Disney cruises is like ridiculous.
It is. Yeah.
And that's why the prices are so high. So I don't think they're going to get cheaper, but I think they will keep them competitive by having more ships versus, you know, less.
That's true. Because honestly, I mean, they're really not competitive already. So you're right that they cannot price themselves out of everyone cruising. I mean, again, we just talked about this with the, I kind of was on the other side with the tickets. People will cruise no matter what you charge them. Somebody will fill those ships. But at the same time, they're already like a good 40% more expensive than the other cruise line that we would consider, and probably like double some cruise lines we wouldn't consider. They cannot be triple your other cruises. They just can't be. That's so many people would move away, I think, at that point.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. And still has so many detractors from the price anyway, until they actually cruise on a Disney cruise and they see what they're getting and everything. And then they're like, oh, okay, now I understand. I mean, I'm one of those people. I really, you know, like, oh my gosh, this is so expensive. But once I've done it, I'm now, oh yeah, I'm okay with that, because I know what I'm getting. I know the luxury I'm getting, the quality I'm getting. Yeah. So, definitely.
Let me tell you something interesting is, and Sam's probably heard this too before, because he's kind of in sales too. I've worked in sales my whole life, and you know they say the definition, what happens when a sale, when you make a sale, it's when the value exceeds the price. It doesn't matter what the price is,
right?
If you can build enough value. Once value exceeds price, that then a sale
will buy it, and repeat sales. I mean, that's exactly right.
Absolutely. So sometimes it just takes that first cruise, which I've never been on a cruise, but with that, whatever you're doing, whether it be going to Disney and you used to going to Six Flags,
well, or buying a more expensive pair of jeans. I mean, like, it's whatever it
whatever,
is.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So once you
be lucky jeans downtown soon.
I know, right?
Once you perceive, once your perceived value exceeds the price. For me, going to a Walt Disney, going to the Magic Kingdom, is worth every bit of $120 or $124, because the value to me for 12 hours in that park that day, it is worth it.
And a cruise is worth, I mean, yeah, whatever you have to pay for it's worth it.
It's amazing that we're, you know, show 124 and have not done a show on cruises yet. I know it's been on our list, and Ed has it on the list, and it will come. So that's something we'll talk about later, and talking about some of that value, because I think we've all experienced that firsthand.
Or Jimmy hasn't, but we've got him to almost sign up for a race, which means that the cruise is next, right, Jimmy?
Absolutely.
That's right.
So I'll sign up for the Castaway Key 5K.
Oh, the other thing is, earlier, we posted, Ed had did a short little blog post about the new ships coming on the DisneyNerds.com. I've shared it in the groups. And in the Disney group, I kind of asked the question, what would you name the two new ships?
That's a great question, because there's nothing in the announcement.
For me, it would be Imagine and Believe.
Okay. Those are actually two. Did you put that in the group chat?
Of course, we'll have a future show on cruising later. Another piece of information that we got from Walt Disney World this week, which we had been waiting for, is we have an opening day for the new nighttime spectacular at Animal Kingdom, Rivers of Light.
I'm so excited.
Premiering on April 22nd, a few days after I leave. But we finally have a date.
Soft opening?
Maybe, who knows? But early 2016 turned into April 22nd, 2016. But we have a date for Rivers of Light. We know that they will also be doing the nighttime safaris. And we're going to have a little carnival on Discovery Island and in the Harambe Marketplace, which I think is going to be pretty cool. So some nighttime reasons to stick around Animal Kingdom.
You know I'm excited about this.
I'm so excited about this. Animal Kingdom is probably my favorite park.
Yay! Another one!
Are you serious?
Yes,
I love that.
Yes.
Welcome to the show. Know,
I'm not a hater, but I'm not my favorite park.
I love it. No, it
really is.
To me, it's apples and oranges. Like, I don't know. It's up
oh,
there,
though.
Oh,
it's definitely apples and
well,
oranges.
Well, but I mean, like, I would literally like them both the same. Like, I love Animal Kingdom. You guys know that.
I do love Animal Kingdom. It's a definite get lost and wander park. And we did a youth education series class there time ago. And I think that is probably what gave me the love of Animal Kingdom, is because they did so many behind the scenes things with us, and they gave us the story of what the Imagineers thought of when they were building it, and getting that story is what sealed the deal for me. I love Animal Kingdom.
Yeah,
I'm so excited about all of this coming.
That, like, I'm the huge, huge Joe Rohde fangirl. Like, I met him at the expo and thought I was going to die. Like, that was like my favorite moment of the expo, I think.
But, I was about to say we need to get Joe Rohde on the show. Jennifer, like, get on that.
Well, you know, we met for one picture, so we're like BFFs.
Well, but y'all, no, Charlotte, like, yeah, y'all are tight.
You're right. Like, I have watched so many specials and read so many books and so many things that he's written, and it is the most immersive, the most well-researched. Like, Animal Kingdom is unlike anything else in the world from that standpoint, like how much went into it, and it's so cool. And like you said, they kind of get lost and wander. Like, my whole family kind of relaxes when we step foot in there because it's just not so go, go, go all the time.
I am looking forward to Rivers of Light. I can't wait to see it. When you think a combination of World of Color and digital projection mapping, and you don't need fireworks. I can't wait to see this thing.
I am so – because, you really know, you know, the thing I love more than Animal Kingdom is nighttime shows and parades. So, like, I'm very excited. I might just have
you
to
get them both there.
Anyway. I know. I'm so excited.
Obviously, there's some descriptions of the story that's going to be told, but I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to hear it. Hopefully, there will be soft openings when I'm there. I doubt it because I'd have to adjust hours. But anyway, look at it. Rivers of Light, if you're headed down, it's a must-do at Animal Kingdom.
I mean,
we'll see it in October.
Yes.
And I'm sure there'll be a dessert party that come along with it, too.
There's already, actually, there are some, like, ADRs with dining packages appearing. I don't remember the date. I should have researched it. But you can Google it. Like, you can already book a, you know, Tusker House with Rivers of Light viewing.
Yeah, there's also where Expedition Everett's Fast Pass distribution used to be that reopened as a counter service recently. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. It is lots of small plates, frozen drinks, things like that. But if you think about it, it's in a pretty good spot because there's going to be people packed all the way around there.
Right.
So it's another spot for you to grab something while you're standing around. So they were thinking that one through.
Hey, I got something to throw at you guys.
Yes.
Watermelon cucumber slush with Hendrix gin.
Are we now segueing to the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, which officially started yesterday?
That will be at the Florida Fresh booth between Morocco and France.
Nice.
I am down for that.
It does sound so ridiculously good.
It does. So Flower and Garden Festival this year, longer than ever. It's been expanded to basically be all of March, April, and May. Another place that I found, freshepcot.com, will take it directly to Walt Disney World's Flower and Garden Festival site. There, if you click on the outdoor kitchens, you can actually download the entire Flower and Garden Festival passport and see it exactly as it's being passed out.
That's exactly what I'm looking at.
Yep, and it is cool because I have lots of these things from prior trips, but I've never been able to get one ahead of time, only sort of the press release. So this shows you exactly what's going on from the topiaries, including the fresh food, fun, and flowers at the main entrance where Donald, Daisy, Huey, Dewey, and Louie are going to be, a new Ranger Mickey topiary along with all of the others that you would expect to see. Anne and Elsa, who were new last year, have moved over to Norway, as I guess they should, right?
They're really beautiful there, too. They're already starting to set them up. And, you know, they of course, since they are new, have the really, really detailed faces and things like that. But they just fit in so beautifully in that area. So,
sure. So nice. Let me ask you then, this already started yesterday. You're fresh back. So if they were putting them up when you were there, how much before Flower and Garden was that?
Well, we were there through the 24th of February. So we're looking at, I mean, it was last Wednesday, so it was 8 days. And I would say 75% of the topiaries were up. All of the booths were up, but they were closed with a coming soon Flower and Garden Festival. The quilty flowers on the, you know, by the Imagination Pavilion were all bloomed. I mean, it felt like it should have started a day or two later. It obviously, I'm sure there's even more been added since, but there were topiaries everywhere. I mean, we saw the whole, we saw Fantasia when we saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. We saw Buzz and Woody. I mean, just like, they were just everywhere. Like, they were everywhere. It was really fun.
What about frozen lemonade with Firefly Blackberry Moonshine?
Firefly, is it a brand? Because there's also something, there's Firefly, like
Firefly
tea.
Is just a brand.
Okay, because Firefly actually.
So this is their. Okay. This is their Blackberry Moonshine.
That's gonna be delicious.
With frozen lemonade. Oh my God, yeah.
Except I don't know about frozen. I'm not a frozen girl, but. Well, I like the movie, unlike Ed, but I don't like the frozen drinks.
How did you still get that rip in there?
Yeah.
I have had a long time to gear up. It's been a while since I've been here.
The outdoor kitchens are essentially a little bit of the Food and Wine Festival sneaking in the Flower and Garden. There's not as many, but they are located around World Showcase. They feature recipes that are themed towards spring, as Jimmy's going over. And there's really some good stuff here. And it's another great reason to be over at the Flower and Garden Festival. One of many.
I think they're very well thought out.
I really like that they are focused on things that are grown. The food is all things that are, you know, garden type things. There's even going to be an edible flower garden, which will be really neat. I'd like to see if they have like candied violets there, because I can remember eating those with my great grandmother when I was very small. So that would be very neat to have.
You know what one of my favorite things that are grown are?
Hops.
Pigs. So pulled pig slider. Mm-hmm. With crispy onions and coleslaw.
That sounds good.
No.
It does.
I will tell you, I like to dine on swine.
I do too, but not, onions here, and coleslaw.
And as we say here in the South, from the rooter to the tooter.
Oh, my goodness.
I eat the whole pig, the whole thing.
One of the in addition to the outdoor kitchens, the festival center, the old Wonders of Life Pavilion, is the center of everything down there at the Food and Wine or at Flower and Garden Festival. Although it's only open on the weekends, so that's
is
something
it really? I didn't know that.
If you're headed down, it's only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it's only open from 10 till 5.
Wow!
So it's not every day. They also have these fun, fresh weekends. Where every weekend there's a different theme going on inside of the festival center. So it's Art in the Garden weekend is in early April. There's an outdoor family fun weekend. There's an Earth Day weekend, a Florida Fresh weekend, and the Florida Federation of Garden Clubs. So they're theming it a little differently, but this is also the place where all the merchandise is and lots of cool stuff is. But if you show up Monday, it's not going to be open until Friday.
I feel like they're missing the boat on that.
I thought the same thing.
It's just retail space. Why wouldn't they have that? I mean,
the garden information desk, the garden theaters in there. In fact, inside the garden theater, I did this last year, there's a movie on a loop that is behind the scenes of the Flower and Garden Festival.
I don't get it. We saw that last year. Were you with us? Me and Ed. I know me and Ed and Kim saw it. Not for Flower and Garden, for Food and Wine. In that little theater, they kind of
in that same theater, the one for Flower and Garden, they'll actually show the cranes picking the topiaries up after hours and dropping them down in and how they do. So the bottom of the topiary, it's actually connected to a pallet. So they can bring the forklift up and pick the thing up. Yeah. And they sort of set it in the garden. And then they do all the flowers right around the pallet. So when it's over, they just take the flowers off, pick the thing up, and take it out of there.
That's cool.
It was really neat to see how they pulled that stuff off. So that was kind of cool. There's another thing that I love about the Flower and Garden Festival is the special things that they have going on for kids. I really do love the play areas, the Cactus Road Rally, which is near Test Track. That's where Mater and Lightning McQueen are. There's an area for kids to play around. They're also doing the Music Garden Medley this year, which is – and I'll read what Disney has here. Discover the roots of your favorite musical instruments and play a medley yourself in the new musical play area and garden.
That's
sounds
fun.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fun.
You know what sounds cool to me? Spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney and taro chips.
I
does actually
see
sound really
it.
Good.
Well, for Food and Wine, they created my kimchi dog, so I'm on that.
They also do a pineapple soft serve, which we all know the other name for that, but they don't call
the
Dole Whips.
That. Right. They don't, why not they just call it
Dole? Well, because then they have to pay Dole. Pineapple soft serve with Parrot Bay coconut rum.
How about a little flower and garden by the numbers? You know, we hear a lot of people say it's just a flower show. I'm not going to waste any time going to see a bunch of flowers. I can do that in you know, my local town, see the spring flower show. But this is not just any flower show. It takes 400 horticulturists over a year. So they're already starting for next year. They've already started for that. There are over 30 million blooms. 240 floating flower planters, 700 gardens, 100 topiaries, and 30 flower towers. So it's definitely not your grandmother's flower show.
No, and you didn't even touch on the 100 topiaries that are all over. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Cool. Some of those gardens that you mentioned, there's the Blue Martin's Garden, the Butterfly Garden, which is awesome. The Backyard Habitat, Nature Works Everywhere. This really, to me, I love this festival. And I might even say I like it better than Food
& Wine.
It's really great.
Spring. This is getting out of the north, cracking out of the snow, walking into all these blooms.
Why I don't get it.
That's why I love this festival, because it's just springtime.
You're right. And it's so, I mean, Epcot is so beautiful. And you mentioned a little bit the like play areas and stuff. I mean, there are usually two or three really nice playgrounds, and depending on how well parents are watching their children on the playgrounds, those can be some of our favorite places. And so if you are the kind of Disney nerd that travels down there frequently, or even just every year, or, you know, likes to take things a little slower, we can go to Epcot for the whole day and not do anything except like playgrounds and food now and look at the topiaries and check off the passport. And it's really, really, it's beautiful and relaxing. It smells good. And now they have good food too. So Sam, I'm not going to argue with you.
But if you ask me in the fall, I'll tell you it's Food and Wine Festival.
Yes.
Right.
My favorite time at Disney World is any time that I can
when
be
I'm there.
That I can be there. That's right. That's right.
Speaking of finding things, they brought back the Easter egg hunt that will be going on for the next few weeks during March. And probably the first week or so of April, I would think that they are going to have that, since there's still so many spring break travelers then.
Have you done that before?
I have done it. It's been a few years since we did it. So the prizes are different, and it looks like they have changed it up a little bit. We did it the very first year that they have it. Since we have a surprise trip happening, I'm really hoping that we're going to be able to do that. Yes, exactly. Shh.
So tell me, have Jimmy or Jen, have you guys done the Easter egg hunt before?
No, I have not. No, we don't have.
Neither have I. So Charlotte, give me a little idea. What exactly is this? It's in Epcot. Is this something?
It's in Epcot. You go to. You do pay to do it. I believe the card was $10 the year that we did it. You get a big card. It's almost as big as a placemat, and it's on nice thick cardstock too. So I brought mine home for my scrapbook, of course, like all good Disney nerds would
do. Absolutely.
And you go around, and there's these big eggs hidden in each pavilion, and a lot of them are going to be themed towards that. So you might find Iago egg in Morocco, which was pretty neat. They're always painted different. Cast members will also hide them in new places. So a lot of people are like, we're going to see where they're at because people are posting online. Don't worry about that. Cast members are going through and they're hiding them in new places. So you go through and you find them, and you put your sticker on your little mat as you find them. And when you get back to when you finished, you go and you don't have to turn it in. You get to keep it. But the cast member verifies that you found them all, and you get to pick a prize. And it's fun. It's a fun little way to do something new.
Something different.
And see more of the different pavilions, because a lot of people just, you know, walk the perimeter of World Showcase and don't really get into the pavilions. So this is a great way to get people back into the pavilions. And it's fun. I mean, we were grown-ups doing it. And so I had a good time. I know the kids will love it.
I do have the details for this year. It's March 2nd through 27th. So just March and not even all of March. But
March was the end of that?
2 through 27. Maps and stickers are $5.95, and I heard from several little birdies that you don't actually even have to find the eggs, that you can just get these prize, which I think is a pin of some sort. But what's the fun in that? Go find the eggs. So 2 through 27 of March, $5.95 at it looks like Pin Central, Port of Entry, Heritage Manor in the American Adventure, and World Traveler at International Gateway. Those are the four. Yeah, those are the four places, and it even says right on the Disney Parks blog, whether you choose to hunt for eggs or not, return your map to the Port of Entry and pick up a surprise. So, I mean, $5.95 for a surprise it's good anyway.
Well, I'm keeping the kids. You know what? I'm calling out anybody that doesn't I think it's such a waste of $5.95 if you don't go do the. I'm not saying you got to find every egg, but come on.
No, you're right. Even, I mean, even if the prize is worth that much, it's not a waste of money. Like, what a wasted opportunity. I mean, these eggs on the Parks blog has pictures and they are adorable. So that's what you're going for, right, Jimmy? Adorable eggs.
Yes.
No, but I mean, it's about the experience, not the prize. Absolutely, yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess that's my point.
I agree. So we could talk a lot about Flower and Garden, and we probably will, especially if you guys are down there for it. But I know that Sam has been working hard behind the scenes in the whole Disney Nerds community, and I've been away, so I am really excited to hear about
Character Madness.
Yeah, so tell me more. Who is
in? Character Madness Tournament. That's what we have here. In fact, that's what we have to go over, and you guys are going to help me decide a couple of tiebreakers here. We have selected our 128 characters that are going to make it into Character Madness. You go to DisneyMadness.com, and it's going to take you to that voting site, and by the time you're hearing this, that voting will be opened. So we have broken this down into 8 different categories. Those categories included many Disney characters, and we voted for who's going to make the cut or the top 16. Now, when you sit down and lay this all out, it's actually 2 brackets modeled after the NCAA tournament. So there are 2 64 bracket tournaments, which is pretty crazy when you think about
it.
That
is really crazy.
Now, the way that I've seeded each of these is based on the number of votes that the selections got. Okay. I'll have all that stuff out there on the website on how I did it. So very quickly, let me go through who made it for the Pixar selections. And then I'm going to spend a little time on who didn't make it. Maybe you guys can comment on who didn't make it, because who did make it, we'll be talking about later. With that, the top 16 in the Pixar bracket, Buzz and Woody. No surprise there, right? 1 and 2.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Buzz Lightyear and Woody.
Mike Wazowski. There's going to be a civil war there.
I
don't even start. As long as they don't make lines like, bracket. I used to be your friend too and make me cry, then.
That's another bracket.
Stressed out. I'm still stressed out about that movie.
We didn't even get to the Marvel. All right. Buzz and Woody are 1 and 2. Mike Wazowski, Nemo, 3 and 4. That's not who they battle against, right? Because the number one seed goes against the 16.
Sure.
Buzz, Woody, Mike Wazowski, Nemo, Dory, Sully, Wally, Joy from Inside Out at number 8. Mm. Lightning McQueen, number 9. Mr. Incredible, 10. Crush, 11. I really like number 12. Bing Bong is in at number 12.
Ah, that's a good one.
What if you have Joy versus Bing Bong?
That's a good one.
Bing
Bong.
I'm already.
It could happen. Jesse's number 13. Remy is 14. Mrs. Yay. Incredible is 15. So Mr. versus Mrs. could happen. Yeah. And number 16, just making the cut, Sadness from Inside.
Nice. That's cool.
How about that? So Sadness.
Joy didn't make it?
She did, yeah.
Joy did. Joy's number 8. Sadness is number 16.
That's what I said. Joy
and
versus
Bing Bong's
Bing Bong
number 12.
Stresses me out. Like, this is my favorite and least favorite thing we do. It's so much fun, and it drives me crazy.
I get you. Disgust did not. Number 17. So these are the ones that did not make it. The Little Green Men were next.
Okay. Wait. Sadness, like the aliens by one vote. Or the,
like the
army
aliens.
Men. Okay, okay.
The aliens. Then Doug was after that. So Doug did just miss.
Nice.
Oh. And I'll keep going, because these ones that didn't make it are great, right?
Sure.
You could you can do a complete bracket with just Pixar characters.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Little Green Men, Doug, Flick, Russell, Anger, Mater, Eve, Dash, Jack-Jack, Disgust, Fear, Bullseye, Bruce, Violet, all of those didn't make it.
I'm okay with those.
Yeah, it's
but
too
we,
hard.
We got a good
not
one through,
room.
One
yeah,
through
I think
16.
It's good.
I don't think those are not tough to argue with.
All right. Number 2 group is Star Wars. And in the number 2 selection, the number 1, and maybe there's some recent sentiment here as to why this character's number 1, Han Solo.
Well,
is
I don't know.
One.
I mean, seriously, he could have been number 1 in the 80s.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah. He has a large appeal. Yeah.
All right. So Han Solo, R2-D2 was number 2. I thought that was interesting.
Get that.
Chewbacca.
Yes.
Interesting. R2-D2 would beat out Luke Skywalker.
Luke is actually number 6.
I'm actually surprised that Chewie isn't higher, though.
Solo, R2, Chewie, Yoda, Darth Vader, then Luke Skywalker in number six.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me.
You know, Princess or obviously missing out of so far what you've done.
Who's it's that?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Let's keep going. Princess Leia's number seven. Now, the 8 and 9 seed end up being a first-round matchup. So 8 and 9, I think, is one of the most interesting matchups of this whole thing. It's C-3PO and BB-8.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
That's how 8 and 9 lined up.
Oh, God.
That's tough. Then number 10 is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Then Rey making an appearance.
Nice. Like the guy that sacrificed his life for Luke Skywalker.
Right? For the entire galaxy.
He's number 10.
He's completely sacrificed himself. He's number 10.
Then Rey.
He was our only hope.
He was
our only hope.
Still may be. Number 12 is my guy, Boba Fett. Then Finn in at number 13.
Cool.
This is sort of interesting. Jabba the Hutt is number 14.
Oh, wow. That's fun. That's something.
It is. Which means Jabba the Hutt will go up against Chewbacca in the first round. That's going to go.
There's obviously only one character that's clearly a cut above Jabba the Hutt, and that's Pizza the Hutt. He ate himself. Well,
that movie's coming too. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well,
Kylo Ren is 15. And number 16, this was surprising to me, it's a trap, Admiral Akbar. In fact, I'll keep going down the list. This is who did not make it in order of them not making it.
That's the only picture of Admiral Akbar there is. It's like it's a trap. That's it. Like Greedo had more of a part than Admiral Akbar.
It's the following. It's the fan presence factor. It's awesome. Did not make it Padme, Poe, Darth Maul, Mace Windu, Greedo, Ahsoka Tana, Qui-Gon Jinn, Jango Fett, Count Dooku, Commander Cody.
That's pretty good, though. It's good again with the Pixar. Like, there's only so many spots, and I think it's good.
You can't bring up
now. There was one write-in vote
throwing MFs in there.
Who put snakes on it? Never mind.
You're right.
Then we'll get an explicit.
There was one write-in other, and I gotta call Ed out here. I think it was Ed. There's a write-in for Maz. Do you think that was Ed?
Maz Kanata.
Yes, was a write-in vote.
Got to be Ed.
She's pretty cool, but yeah, I think it's Ed.
We'll ask him next time. All right, number three is
he's just having his
number
three. Mass.
So that was the write-in because I did let people write in if they thought there was somebody else. And there were some write-ins for this last one or the next one, Disney princesses. This is the third round. Princesses pretty straightforward, and when you think Disney princesses, I think the princess franchise. But when you go through it, there's not 16 in there. So who do you pick for the end? I'm going to need your help in a second. Top five: Belle, Rapunzel, Ariel, Snow White, Cinderella.
Belle's number one.
I don't
one.
Think there's any surprises. Belle's number one.
Because no, Beauty and the Beast is the dream bracket of everything ever. Yeah.
It's because it's the best.
She's the greatest.
Rapunzel, Ariel, Snow White, Cinderella. That's top five.
God, that's got to be pretty close to how I would rank them.
I'll do the next five: Aurora, Anna, Jasmine, Merida, Tinkerbell.
I would say technically Tinkerbell is not a princess.
She's in the franchise, though. That's why I left her. Or is she? Is she considered a princess?
I don't think so.
She's not in the franchise.
So it's this thing where, like, when I was growing up, there weren't even seven. So you get to, like, calendars and stuff, and you have to – and I'm actually not even that old. But I just mean in the franchise. But, like, you have to – so they added people, like – I mean, they added all kinds of stuff. But now there's, like, a million of them, so.
11 is Mulan. Okay. Yep, 12 is Elsa. Then Tiana. Pocahontas. So here's where I need your help, because we have a three-way tie for the 16th princess.
Wow.
Let's do the vote right here. Let's just throw caution to the wind and do the vote right now.
Right here. Now, I also want you to think, because Belle was number one, whoever wins this is going to go against Belle.
So you're saying it's irrelevant, basically.
That's basically what I'm saying. But I do like what's come down to.
All right.
Okay. Sophia the First. Right. Alice or Vanellope von Schweetz?
Well, I mean,
Vanellope von Schweetz, that's my vote.
Yeah. I mean, only one's a princess,
princess.
Well, she is. Well, you're
Sophia,
right. So two
Sophia's
of them
the first princess.
Sophia's a princess. And Alice is Alice. But, like, I mean, Alice is a fan favorite for so many people. But, yeah, I love Vanellope.
Well, my vote is Sophia, only because we watched that with granddaughter. And she loves Sophia the First.
Oh, my kids love
Sophia, too, which means Ed.
Vote. My kids love Sophia, but I love Vanellope, and I'm the one on the show. So,
so Sam, go on, Sophia.
I like Sophia. I think she's the first person.
Over Vanellope Van Schweetz.
Yeah, know, right, Jimmy? Vanellope in the car is awesome.
Vanellope is so awesome. She has candy in her hair.
When Ralph at the end, when he's looking out the game over at Vanellope's game.
All right, Vanellope is number 16.
Yeah, she's so
all
right. Good.
Okay.
Who did not make it is Alice and Sophia, obviously. Wendy, Esmeralda, and Sally. Sally Skellington. We had two write-in votes for Princess Leia.
Nice.
And we had one write-in vote for Dot.
For who?
Dot.
Doc. Oh, Dot. From, Bug's Life. Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Oh,
yeah, right. Which is Princess. Yeah, okay. All right. It's right in vote.
Well, I think Princess Leia, I get it. Princess Leia it probably too. Could be there, but you would have had to remove her from the Star Wars bracket.
Or you'd have Leia. You could have.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, that's.
You probably wouldn't have Leia versus Leia, but that'd be pretty funny.
All right. Villains, the fourth bracket. The top five here. Maleficent, Ursula, Captain Hook, Cruella de Vil, and Gaston.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Sounds right. I'm good with that.
But no, are you kidding? Name them again.
Maleficent, Ursula, Captain Hook, Cruella de Vil, and Gaston.
Those are good.
That's top five.
I can't believe that.
Who's
missing?
Evil Queen.
She's on the list, obviously, but I don't think top five. She's on the list, but she's not top five.
Evil Queen is number one.
You're thinking of Once Upon a Time. Yes, I called you on it. I knew it. You're thinking of Once Upon a Time.
The Evil Queen is number six.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
Scar, Jafar, Lady Tremaine, Mother Gothel, Queen of Hearts, Hades, Dr. Facilier. Here's a good one. The Headless Horseman at number 14.
Good one.
Iago. Mm-hmm. And Prince John.
You know, I'm not a villain fan, but this might be the most fun category because some of those villains that are ranked kind of low are really, really bad. Like, they're not your famous Disney, like,
so
everyone loves Maleficent.
Right,
but like,
what do you...
some of the villains, like, Frollo is, like, the most disgusting villain ever in any Disney
movie.
Who is?
Completely
Frollo?
Agree. Frollo.
Because it's real. It's realistic. Like, he is a true life monster that you could meet on the streets. Like, mm-hmm. So, like, it's horrific. But
see,
then,
I thought, so what do you vote? So when we decide to vote, what
this
do you
is
vote?
Always the problem.
Who is
it's
most
always the problem.
Evil?
Yeah. I think
or
who's
who
the
do
best
you like the most?
Well,
who
I think this is always the issue. You just have to claim, you know, you have to just justify your pick and be the one person that everyone
fun.
Else disagrees with.
I think
that's why it's fun.
I think the most evil out of all of them is Scar.
Okay.
Because he committed murder?
His brother.
And pinned it on a child. Yeah, that's good.
He killed
it on
his brother.
And pinned it on a child.
And blamed it on his nephew.
That's good. That's good. But there again, he's not like top five. That's going to be a really good bracket, though, because you're right. Scar is a really good villain in that awful way. Like, he's a really good, bad villain. So that'll be a really good bracket, I think.
Yeah. So here's who did not make it.
Jeremy Irons, right?
Yeah.
All right. Who did not make it? The Heffalumps and Woozles.
I like that.
That's amazing.
Heffalumps and Woozles.
That's amazing.
They were listed
but
as
the Heffalump turned out to just be misunderstood, so.
Isn't that the case with all the
well, that's why they
that's
make
true.
It.
That's true.
Sean Yu from Milan.
All right.
Hans from Frozen did not make it.
He's not developed.
That's
that
surprising.
Big Bad Wolf. Yeah, he didn't make it. The Big Bad Wolf. King Louie. Governor Radcliffe. One of my favorites, Turbo or King Candy.
Yeah,
I thought
that's a
he
good
was,
one.
Yeah. Stromboli. And a write-in vote for Oogie Boogie.
That's a good category.
Who I forgot to put
him
in
there. He would have been a good one.
I forgot to put him in there. That's my fault. I appreciate the listener who wrote him in and pointed that out on Facebook, so thank you.
That was probably
all right, number five, your classic Disney selection. So these are classic Disney characters. And this top five I think is perfect. It's Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Donald, Pluto. That's
sure.
The Fab Five.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
One through five.
Perfect. Perfect.
It's perfect. I mean, you couldn't have done that any better. All right. 6 through 10, Chip, Dell.
Yep.
Daisy Duck.
Perfect.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Ooh. Scrooge McDuck.
Wait. Huey, Dewey, and Louie are one person?
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah, they're one.
Okay, right. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay.
After Scrooge McDuck at number 10, we have Ludwig von Drake.
Nice.
All right. Let me just say one thing really quick. If you're ever at a character dinner and you want to have a little bit of fun, when Chip and Dale come by, you have to say, well, there's Alvin, there's Yeah, and you just go, where's Theodore? And they hate that.
That's
so
really
they'll completely
and they hate that. So go ahead.
If you're like,
and then yell, Andy's coming. Run.
Look, baby, it's Alvin and Simon. Where's Theodore?
They'll
act
funny.
Up with you a little bit.
After Scrooge McDuck, Ludwig von Drake, Max Goof, Pete, Figaro, Claire Bell Cow, and Horse Collar round out the 16.
Those are fun. That's like a lot of like vintage
Clara
ones.
Bell Cow.
Claire Bell Cow, number 15. And those not making it, and this is where we'll spend a little time, Humphrey the Bear.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't need to be in the top 16, but I love him.
Humphrey the Bear. I didn't know that.
He is from, what is it? He's not from Lambert. He is from he's from a Goofy cartoon, and I literally don't know the name of it, but he is most well known in all over Wilderness Lodge. Like, he's in the totem pole with the Fab Five.
Yeah, he's the totem pole.
Well,
he has this cartoon where he like catches a fish with Goofy. It's not like the perfect cast with Goofy, but just Google him.
I believe he's also on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, right?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
Not
right,
that
we'll
I remember,
going.
But
I am so far out of touch with like the Disney Channel.
No, Humphrey the Bear. Humphrey is like really old.
Yeah, it's old.
It's like Lambert classic. The Sheep is Lamb. It's like the 40s or 50s. Like, it's super old.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Willie the Giant was on here. He didn't make it.
That's
April,
from
May,
Jack
and June.
Thought?
Yeah, from Jack and the Bee.
And Mickey Mouse.
April, May, and June.
Daisy's nieces.
Okay.
Daisy's nieces,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah,
I don't think a lot of people knew who they were.
No, and that's just, I mean, yeah, it's fine that they're on the big
We
list,
used that as a trivia question one time.
Yep.
Bubbles.
Who?
Did you say Bubbles?
Who?
Bubbles the Elephant. Bubbles the Elephant is on Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, which I threw him in there just to see if anybody was voting for him, and really nobody did. He's only got a handful of
Yeah,
votes.
Okay.
And we had write-ins for Darkwing Duck, and we had write-ins for Dumbo.
Nice. Darkwing Duck is fun.
Two good ones.
Dumbo is good, too, yeah.
Number six is The Muppets.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yay!
All right,
so
the Muppet
tough.
Category. It is tough.
Muppets are tough.
Well, some of them, you know, they're going to be there, right? So 1 through 5. Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, Animal, the Swedish Chef.
Those are good.
Right, so
yeah,
who's
okay,
your? So, Sam, who is your favorite Muppet?
My Muppet's probably Fozzie Bear.
All right.
Or Sam. Animal.
See, here's the thing. We've talked about this before. Like, I did not grow up with the Muppets except for Muppet Babies. So I don't have, like,
so
a long-term. I mean, I love Kermit. I love Kermit, but it's not like some
right,
long.
So Kermit. Charlotte.
Better, Kermit and Sweetums.
Sweetums.
I love Sweetums.
I don't know anything about Sweetums except for from the 40 attraction.
So I'll keep going then, right? Number six is
I
gone.
I get to say mine.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy. Who's your favorite Muppet? Who's your Muppet?
I think my favorite Muppet is Ralph.
Ralph the Dog.
Ralph the
Dog. He's the bartender on the new series. I love it.
And he's deep.
I should watch the Muppets before then.
Oh, Gonzo's cool too. Because
I like Gonzo.
Absolutely. Beaker's number 7.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite
number
8 is Sam the Eagle.
Oh, I like Sam the Eagle, too.
I know I like all these now that you're saying
them. 2 minutes.
Sam the Eagle, number 8. Number 9 is Statler and Waldorf.
I love them.
No, they're great, too. God, I love stuff.
Why don't they move it to Pittsburgh? Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're here for the halibut.
Number 10 is Ralph. So Ralph's in at number 10. Number 11, Rat Schmat. Rizzo the Rat. Gotta
Rat
like that.
Rat Schmat. Nice. What do they know? They're tourists.
Number 12, Bunsen Honeydew. 13 is Scooter, and 14, Charlotte, is Sweetums, so he's in the tournament.
Yay.
Dr. Teeth is 15, and Pepe Le Prawn is 16.
Sure. So I like Pepe a lot from the Midship Detective Agency on the cruise line. That's
oh,
like,
okay,
I like
good.
Him a lot from there. Like,
who did not make the list? The first two, and I kind of, Bean Bunny and Waldo C. Graphic.
Oh, fun. He would be on now, high on my list of like park specific characters, but maybe not.
So, and we went back and forth, Jimmy and I, on whether these two belonged in the Muppets or the Disney Parks list. Bean Bunny and Waldo C. Graphic actually came from Muppets Tonight.
Okay,
so they were around before the attraction. Then Janice, Zoot, Floyd Pepper, the rest of the Electric Mayhem. Denise, who is Muppet's new girlfriend on the ABC show that's on, and a write-in vote for Chip, the IT guy. And I know who wrote that in, by the way.
Who's
that's
Chip
how
the
Muppets.
IT guy?
Chip, the IT guy, is on the new show.
Ah.
There has been some comparison of myself to Chip, the IT guy. So I won't say which of my children.
I have a guess.
Are you? Let me ask you a question. Are you more Chip, the IT guy, or Doug from Up?
Squirrel.
Squirrel.
Yeah, there we go. All right. You guys got to help me with this one, with the number 7 here of the overall bracket. And this is the Marvel selection. Number 1, Captain America. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
I think so. Top 5, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Spider-Man.
Yep, that's good.
Yes. Okay. That's...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I don't think
maybe not in that order, but like,
some
yeah,
people may
good.
Not yeah, agree yeah. with that order, but right. yeah, that's probably tough to argue that that top 5.
Wolverine, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Groot, and Rocky Raccoon. Rocket Raccoon.
Groot, not Groot.
Groot, yeah.
Groot. Yeah, I saw that movie too.
I
did like.
Yeah, I like most of those in those spots. I might have moved a few of them out of top 10, but. Pretty good. I like it.
I think if you talk to most Marvel fans, I don't know that Groot would make top 10.
I agree. Rocket Raccoon probably would. Well, I don't know about top 10. Top 10 is pretty high.
All right, so let's keep going. Got 11's Loki, then Star-Lord, Professor X,
nice.
Ant-Man, Deadpool, and Storm to round out the 16.
Deadpool would have never made it until recently. That's interesting.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I bet not.
Deadpool is actually a very great character.
Well, no, I know, but I think that I just think there are some that are more well known until now.
Well, and in the movie Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine, you see Deadpool, which was actually Ryan Reynolds, but he doesn't have the mask on and all that, and Wolverine actually kills him. But he's like the epitome of like all the scientists take all the different powers and basically pop it into them. There's some other ones that probably I would pick. Punisher.
Well, it's just interesting, too. I was going to say I would go more like Red Skull and Taskmaster, like very old Marvel.
Or Thanos.
Not like MCU Marvel, but...
Thanos.
So some of those may be in the list that who didn't
true.
Make it.
Yep.
So let me give you 5 of those, and then you can comment.
Good.
Rogue, Vision, Falcon, Ultron, Daredevil.
Vision and Ultron should have been in there, I think. But in my list, they would have been.
So I'll keep going here. Scarlet Witch, Silver Surfer, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Nightcrawler, Red Skull.
Out of all the people you named,
yep.
Silver Surfer came up. But he is the only Fantastic Four character that has come up. Because you had Visigirl, you had... The Human Torch.
Oh, and I was thinking of Quicksilver, which is a totally different thing, yeah.
Well, so Quicksilver was a write-in. I was going to ask you that. There was a write-in for Quicksilver and a couple Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones is a great one, but not in the top 16.
So, I'll say that that's the category that I knew the least about.
What's interesting
but I think we have a good representation in the top 16.
Yeah, absolutely.
The interesting thing is that if you look at the original Fantastic Four movies, the Human Torch ended up being Captain America.
Right, yeah.
Ah,
and he almost didn't do it because he didn't want to be typecast as another superhero movie.
Wow.
I'm glad he did.
He is. He is Captain America.
He absolutely is.
All right.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
When we get to those brackets, we'll talk about that more. The one that I know the most versus one that I knew the least about. Number 8 is the Disney Parks selection.
Yay.
So these are characters in and around the Disney parks. This one was fun, right?
Yay.
Okay.
Number 1, and this was back and forth between number 1 and number 2. Number 1's the Hitchhiking Ghosts, and number 2 is Figment. And they bounced back and forth the entire time.
1 and 2.
Figment.
Hitchhiking Ghosts, Figment.
Hitchhiking Ghosts, Figment.
Yeah.
Top 5. Hitchhiking Ghosts, Figment. The Ghost Host, which I guess could also be Master Gracie.
I would Gabber listen Dance. To him as Master Gracie.
It's same,
but
same person, yeah. You know what? When we do the actual brackets, I'll put that in parentheses. The Dapper Dans are number 4.
Okay.
And the Yeti is number 5.
Nice. That's
6, Tom Morrow.
Mr. Tom Morrow.
And that's really – so when you think Tom, is it that person they're paging, or is it the old Tom Morrow that was the host for Nine-Eye in the theater there before Monsters, Inc. moved in?
Well, I think it's the same. I think it's exactly the same. I think they're paging.
Gotcha. That was the Robin Williams character, and I'm completely blanking on what that attraction was.
Ezra?
It was Timekeeper.
Timekeeper.
But
yes.
Nine Eye was Robin Williams, right? Or is that?
No, Timekeeper or Tom Mara was Robin Williams.
Okay.
The
Nine Eye was the robot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nine Eye was
the camera robot.
Rhea Perlman.
But I think the TTA or People Mover.
Yeah, the page
pays tribute to that.
And yeah, which is awesome. All right, after Tom Morrow is Briar Bear.
Briar Bear.
Thank you.
Briar Bear.
Divine. Briar Fox.
Fantastic.
Yep. Briar Fox is 9. Number 10 is the Dream Finder. He's way lower than I would have had him personally, but he's on the list.
Yeah, he's not there anymore, so it's hard.
Well, a lot of people don't know who he is.
Right,
yeah.
If you don't really know the history.
Yep. 11 is Big Al from the Country Bears. 12 is, either way, Madame Leota, Little Leota. It's another Haunted Mansion reference. Orange Bird at number 13.
Okay.
Little Orange Bird.
I love Orange Bird.
The Sunshine Tree.
Big fan of Little
14th, the Auctioneer from the Pirates, the Pirate Auctioneer. We wants the redhead. Not the redhead, the Auctioneer himself. Now, here's where it gets interesting. For number 15 and 16, we actually have a four-way tie. So we get to pick 15 and 16.
Okay.
Okay. So these are the four people that we get the vote for, one of.
Okay.
And two of them are tiki birds, believe it or not.
Okay.
Jose and Pierre.
All right.
Although we could potentially put them together and say tiki birds.
No,
we,
no.
We could make that call right
no,
now.
No, no, no.
Okay. So we have Jose and we have Pierre. Then we have Cousin Orville.
All right. That's pretty funny.
Which I think is great. And Push.
That's good.
So two of them are going
to
make
I know what I want to vote for, so I'll let – let's let Charlotte go first.
Hold on.
I'm definitely
going
to vote for
two.
Orville.
Say that one more time,
what,
Charlotte.
Cousin Orville is a definite for me because that is just – that's funny. I like that.
Okay.
And Push.
And Push.
I don't mind the tiki birds, but Orville and Push for me.
All right.
Well, yeah, whoa. You got to pick one.
No, she wants
no,
two. We get to pick two.
Oh, you get to pick two?
Yeah, because we need 15 and 16. There's a four-way tie for two spots.
Jim? My bad. I didn't get it. I thought.
Okay, hold on. I kept listening, and maybe I just missed it. Did you say Sunny Eclipse?
Sunny Eclipse was after Pierre in the voting.
Ugh.
Sunny did not make the list.
No vote other than Sunny Eclipse. None. He has got to be way at the top. You guys are crazy.
No.
Disney nerds
so
community.
You got to pick what's available.
I'm with you.
Now, let me tell you.
I have no vote in this entire bracket. I would say Push would be a whatever.
Okay.
Fine.
All right, you got one more.
Push and who else?
You said which two birds? Jose and Pierre?
Jose and Pierre, yes.
I'm trying to do the whole tiki bird opening thing in my head to make sure I know which is which. I would say Jose, and I would have put Fritz before Pierre, but Jose and Push.
I'm going exactly how Charlotte did with Cousin Orville and Push. So what do you got, Jimmy?
Very nice.
Nothing against the tiki birds.
So I definitely go Cousin Orville.
Okay.
But I'm going to go Jose.
And Jose.
So we need Ed to make the final choice.
No, I think we'll end up with Cousin Orville and Push.
Three votes for Push.
Like, yeah.
Three votes for Cousin Orville.
Does the Geminators make it?
No.
I didn't hear that.
The Geminators are not on the list, and I don't think they got written in. Let me go who did not make it. So the first one that did not make it is Sunny Eclipse.
Ugh.
And I'm with you, Jen. I thought the same thing, and I was doing my best to vote for him. Sunny Eclipse followed by the Redhead, which I would rather have in there than the Auctioneer, but that's okay. Duffy, the Main Street Mayor, the Main Street Fire Chief, Captain Rex, who I went back and forth with is he Star Wars or is he Disney Parks?
He's Parks for sure. But I don't think he's anywhere
either
else.
I don't think he's either. He's an original Disney Parks character.
Yeah, I think so.
Michael from the Tiki Room, Captain EO, Fritz from the Tiki Room,
I certainly voted for Captain EO. And Hooter, and Fritz. If I was going to pick one of the birds from, it'd be Fritz.
That's
Let's
exactly
get what, the show rolling.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Jen just said. So that is 128 characters that are in the tournament. What I need you to do, if you're still listening, thank you, number one, head over to DisneyMadness.com. You're going to be able to vote. Now, this first round is going to be a little tricky because these 64 matchups of 128 different characters all require you to press a button that says vote. So it's going to be a lot of them. But then next week, it'll be half that many and half that many and half that many until we get to the top one. And with that, thank you guys so much for listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Remember, the DisneyNerdsPodcast.com. That's where you find the blog, videos, all of the shows. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, all those good places. And the Facebook group where it all started, Disney Nerds, all caps. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Quaharini.
Go see Zootopia.
Bye.
Kongaloosh.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.